Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, yesterday we sang, who can move the mountains that are hindering us today? Who can, what?
Who can pick up the pebbles or something like that? Throw them away.
Who can prove his power when a Christian kneels to pray? It is Jesus. He's the one. Jesus holds all power in his mighty hand divine. He's the one who heals the sick, turns water into wine. He makes all things possible, and he's a friend of mine. Blessed Jesus. He's the one. Isn't that right? It's all right. Say amen here in the morning.
Amen.
If the sisters won't do, it's okay. The brethren will probably get me later. All right, now what was that phrase? We've got to get it right. Who can move the mountains that are hindering us today? Who can pick them up like pebbles and clear them from the way? That's true. Well, we want to try it again.
Who can move the mountains that are hindering us today? Who can pick them up like pebbles, clear them from the way? Who can prove his power when a Christian kneels to pray? It is Jesus, he's the one. Jesus holds all power in his mighty hand divine. He's the one who heals the sick, turns water into wine. He makes all things possible, and he's the friend of mine. Blessed Jesus, he's the one.
Are you getting it? Maybe we've got to do it one more real quick, okay?
Who can move the mountains that are hindering us today? Who can pick them up like pebbles, clear them from the way? Who can prove his power when a Christian kneels to pray? It is Jesus, he's the one. Jesus holds all power in his mighty hand divine. He's the one who heals the sick, turns water into wine. He makes all things possible, and he's a friend of mine. Blessed Jesus, he's the one.
Amen. Now, Big Al Smith, some of you know.
Yeah.
Big Al Smith. I think he spent a lot of time in part of the town. I don't know. But you know what? This dear brother has written a lot of good music. Thanks for it. I know some of you know him, maybe most all of you know him. But he wrote this one. I'm going to sing it. If you know it, join right in. Feel free. If not, we'll sing it again anyway.
The Lord is good. Tell it wherever you are. The Lord is good. Tell it that others may know. Tell of his blessings and tell of his love. Tell of his coming from heaven above.
Are you ashamed? I mean, are you afraid to put your hand and say, I didn't know it? Is it new to someone here today? Everyone knew it?
We have it on our sheet.
Oh, so you really got it. You're probably tired of singing it.
No, you're not.
Oh, let's do it again.
The Lord is good. Tell it wherever you go. The Lord.
Another big fellow, maybe not as wise, but much taller, by the name of Mr. Stan Poole. Many of you have heard him. And let's pray for him today when we go to our prayer room. Most of you, if not all, know that he had about 3 heart attacks some time ago. And and they didn't know where he'd ever preach anymore or not. But we just heard in the last month that he's taking a conference. He's preaching again. So the Lord is giving him this ability once again, giving him the physical strength. But I understand through one of the, he said, the many crises in his life, this little song came to him. He wrote the words and went to someone and asked for a melody for it. He says, if it's no good, we'll just throw it away. And I'm sure you know.
Let the Lord have His way in your life every day. There's no rest, there's no peace until the Lord has His way. Place your life in His hands, rest secure in His plan. Let the Lord have His way.
Now, Brother Bill. I don't know what we're going to do without that guitar next week. We're going to miss it, but it's good to have this singing. You know, I was thinking as I was sitting, now music can be so beneficial. It can be very detrimental, too, but it's the wrong kind of music and used the wrong way. But in the Lord's hands and with the Lord's message, really warms the heart and lifts the soul, and you enjoy it. I know you do. That's what you sing, and I do too. Can we just pause for a moment of prayer? Brother Bob Grant, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Our Father, our God, we bow before Thee this morning and thank Thee for Thy love and Thy goodness to us, and for the privilege of gathering as we have done to sing these songs of praise and adoration. To sing these songs that will encourage us along the way to follow the Lord and be in His will. We ask You to bless the message that will come to us today, and that our Father, our time together might be that which will fit us for this day and for days to come, possibly preparing us for some special time that's ahead of us. So we commit ourselves to Thee and those who have the responsibility of ministering to us. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen.
Now, today's Wednesday, and Wednesday afternoon is the weekly trip over to the Whispering Pines Nursing Home and Park in Stark. And I know that Mr. Schwartz and Mr. Hurley are going. At least I've heard that, is that right? And perhaps some of the others of you are going. The bus will leave here at 3 o'clock right at the door outside here. And if there's too many, I'm sure a couple of cars can be scurried up to take a few others along. It's a good ministry, and if you can go, it'd be nice for you to have a part there. The rest of the day is yours for leisure. You can drop the rain, skip the raindrops and dodge them. I know one place where the rain won't get you, and that's if you go in the swimming pool. You just stay underwater, and you won't be rained on at all. It was nice and warm. Measured it yesterday. It was 77, and that was early in the morning, and we were pouring the warm water from the solar system in, so I'm sure it got warmer during the day. But enjoy what you can, and perhaps our rain clouds will lift. We need the rain. But you enjoy yourself with the recreational things that you see available here, and you ask if you don't see some of them. And don't forget that next Monday we're planning a trip to Silver Springs. It's just a short distance down there, a little over an hour drive. Bus will be leaving here at 9 o'clock. Now the sign-up sheet for that's over in the chapel, so when you go over tonight, if you haven't signed up already, please do so if you'd like to go. I think the 13 places on the bus
Again, we'll be filling up very fast. We'll be back here in time for dinner in the evening, leaving at 9 o'clock and back about 5 p.m. So take advantage of that if you can, if you would like. Now we'll turn it back to Hurley for another song and then the message by Brother Schwartz.
Well, lest we forget, time for our lesson again today?
Yeah.
Schwartz has more lessons.
We want to help you people all that we possibly can, especially those of you who come from Harvey Expression, North. We want to help you on understanding and speaking Southern. So we have a couple more words, and I think by getting a few of these words, you'll just get the drift of it, and you'll be able to understand and speak Southern. All right. You see this? What is that?
Florida.
Some of you said Florida.
Florida.
Florida. Florida. So this is where you are right now, in Florida. Okay? You're in the state of Florida. Now, F-L-A-W-D-A. Keep that in mind. You're in the state of Florida. Now, just north of here, is the state of
Georgia.
Some of you are not pronouncing it correctly.
Georgia.
J-A-W. Now, what's J-A-W?
Georgia.
Jaw.
Georgia.
J-A. Georgia. Georgia. That's right. Let's all say it together now.
Georgia.
That's right. Florida and Georgia. That's right. Now, there's a big city in Georgia, and that is
Atlanta.
Boy, I'm going to tell you, you're having great difficulty. This is Atlanta. Let's say it together. Atlanta. All right. Atlanta is where?
Georgia.
Atlanta is in Georgia. All right. One other word. Now, that's one syllable. Believe. Okay? I believe, you see, this is an expression of intent or faith. I believe Atlanta is in Georgia. Right? Let's all say that together. I believe Atlanta is in Georgia. That's correct. All right, I think you'll get the drift of that.
You know, we certainly appreciate him coming along to help us. You know, I'm getting a lot of help on that. I've been saying my words wrong. There's another word that we've been saying wrong, too, well, we'll get that later, I guess. Plum? Huh? Plum?
Plum
a tree. We'll be getting that later. Well, we appreciate this, you know. We're getting a lot of help.
Help.
Now, help.
Hep.
Hep. Hep. Hep. Hep. Hep. Hep. Hep. Hep. Hep. Hep. Hep. Hep. Hep. Hep. Hep. Hep. Hep. Hep. Hep. Hep. Hep. Hep. Hep. Hep. We'd like to sing the little chorus each day before we look into God's Word. Bless thy word unto our hearts and glorify thy name. Let's try it again, and maybe we'll sing it through twice so we'll really get this little chorus and take it home with us, we certainly hope. Bless thy word unto our hearts and glorify thy name. Bless thy word unto our heart and glorify thy name. Glorify thy name, Lord. Glorify thy name. Bless thy word unto our heart and glorify thy name. Bless thy word unto our heart and glorify thy name. Bless
words to Eddie Schwartz.
Let's just look to the Lord once again. Father, we say amen to that which our brother has said on our behalf. We realize and readily confess our utter dependence upon thee. And we pray that our hearts will be warmed and blessed and challenged, encouraged, as we open thy word. We commend us to thee, thanking thee and praying in our Savior's lovely name. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 5. Yesterday we were talking about the three changes that I believe every Christian will experience. One is in the past, the spiritual change. One is in the present, the moral change. And one is yet to come, the bodily change. Romans chapter 5. And verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. We exult in testing, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given, or who is given, unto us. Paul said, we glory, we exult in tribulations. Quite a statement, isn't it? We know from Ephesians chapter 5 that we are to give thanks for all things. And we know from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that in everything, we're to give thanks. And here again, that's more easily read, that's more easily said than done, isn't it? Mm-hmm. More easily said than done. But Paul said we glory in tribulations or testings, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Look over to the book of James, please. James chapter 1, and verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. You see, this is not something that was planned. It was unexpected, as it were, when ye fall into divers temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Now some might think that this sounds contradictory. On the one hand, he is saying, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. And then in verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. I say, well now, surely this is not double talk here. This is not a paradox. Or maybe I should say it is a paradox. Well, understand this, that God will test us to bring out the good, and Satan will tempt us to bring out the evil. Because there are two different words there. God will test us to bring out the good. Satan seeks to tempt us to bring out the evil. We still have the old sinful nature, though we're Christians, we still have the old sinful nature, and that sinful nature wants to express itself, and the way it does so is through the body. And we have the new nature. We are made partakers of God's divine nature. We're children of God now. And that new nature expresses itself through the body as well, and we're to yield our members as members of righteousness. And so Satan tempts us to bring out the evil. God tests us to bring out the good. Now, in both of these scriptures that we have read, we saw the word knowing. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And that word has the implication of discernment, of understanding, of being able to distinguish something. And this is what we need, is it not? We need, in the days in which we live, and at all times, we need to know something. We need to be able to discern the things of God, don't we? We are perplexed oftentimes. We are being bombarded on all sides with a lot of nonsensical teaching. And when we face difficulties, when we face adversities, we oftentimes cry out to God, why? Have I done something? And I'm sure all of us at one time or another have gotten a guilt complex because of so many troubles we've experienced. I think this is what most of us would do. You remember the disciples asked the Lord, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Quite a foolish question, I think, but we're inclined to get a guilt complex. What is the Lord trying to tell me? Have I done something wrong? Is he punishing me in some way? And so we need to know something as we face obstacles and difficulties. I've been saved for 30 years. That's not long, but I've been saved for 30 years, and I believe more than ever that the Christian race is not the 100-yard dash, it's not the 220, it's not the 440. The Christian race is an obstacle race. And I believe God directs, and I believe God allows whatever obstacles as are necessary to conform us more and more to the image of Christ. In Job chapter 3, verses 25 and 26, we read, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. It will come on. Job chapter 5 and verse 7, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Job chapter 14 and verse 1, man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Now that we are Christians, and I realize I'm speaking to some who've been on the way for a number of years, but we're still in the learning process, are we not?
Mm-hmm.
We're still in the school of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we are to learn things. We are to know something as we face these adversities, as we face these difficulties, whether they be physical or otherwise. And we are to understand that they accomplish something in our life. Now, it is true that there is so much that we don't understand. I must confess, I don't understand. I don't have answers. When people come and ask, well, now, why did that children's hospital burn down and so many children perished in the flames? Why? I don't understand that. The largest funeral I've ever conducted, and I guess I've conducted and participated in well over 100. The largest funeral I've ever conducted was an 18-year-old boy who was an outstanding testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just graduated from high school. He was driving another young man, a buddy of his, home from a community center one night. He was one who witnessed to many people. Just an outstanding young man coming home one night and here a police car pursuing another car was going over 100 miles an hour. Rounded a curve and hit his head on. We don't understand that. Not too awful long ago, a Christian woman in Greensboro came home from a church meeting. Her son drove her up to the house. This is a little after midday. Drove her to her house, watched her as she went into the house, and then he drove off. And inside the house was a black man who raped her and robbed her. 90 years old. I don't understand that. why would the Lord allow one who was such a bright, shining testimony and continues to be, in her last days, as it were, has something like that upon her thinking, or in her thinking. We don't understand that, but the principle on which we operate is that we can't let what we don't know shake our confidence in what we do know. We have to keep looking to Him, and we have to keep on keeping on. And here again, that's easily said, but we have to keep on keeping on. Now, God uses adversity. It seems to me that in some instances, what might be a temptation, that is, a solicitation to evil from Satan, might at the same time be a testing from God. I won't take time to try to think of some illustrations, but we're to understand that God uses these testing times, these adversities. And it seems to me that the kind of adversity that God most effectively uses generally has three characteristics. Number one, they're greater than our ability to resolve. We just cannot bring ourselves to fully understand these things. But they are used to drive us to the Lord and to cause us all the more to cast ourselves upon Him. It's greater than our ability to resolve. And then it seems to invariably come in multiples. You've heard the expression, when it rains, it pours. And you've heard too, trouble always comes in threes. Well, I don't have a Bible verse for that, but that seems to be the case. I think we can go to Joseph and others in Scripture, and we can see that that was the case with them. And it seems to invariably come in multiples, and it's always incomprehensible. We just don't fully understand it. The songwriter wrote, "We'll understand it in the by and by. I'll ask the reason, he'll tell me why, when we talk it over in the by and by." But we are to know something, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, the testing of your faith, worketh patience. That the testing of our faith is something that works in us, and it works for us. I think of the person who prayed, "Lord, give me patience, and give it to me right now." That was the one person who said, "I prayed for patience, and all I got was trouble." Well, tribulation worketh patience. Now, I believe that these adversities, these difficulties, these obstacles that God directs and allows are used in a number of ways. There are times when they are disciplinary. You can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You remember Paul said, "For this cause, many sleep." That is, the Lord had taken some home, because they would not straighten up and buckle down and do what they were supposed to do under the disciplined hand of God. And God, in essence, said, "Come on home." For this cause many sleep. We see in Hebrews chapter 12, "Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, He disciplines." I can remember there were times when our son, and by the way, some of you have asked, "I thought you were in Ireland." No, that's our son. Our son Eddie Jr., his wife Sharon, and the two prettiest and smartest grandchildren, I suppose, in all the world. But there were times when Eddie was a little boy and he would be out on the block there playing with some other children in the neighborhood. Then there were times he took after his mother and got into some trouble. You could hear the children crying and screaming out there. And there might be a half a dozen or a dozen children out there. I was concerned only about one. And you know which one that was. That would be it. We have three children. And the Lord will discipline us because we are His children. So sometimes these adversities, these difficulties are disciplinary. But sometimes they are used as a deterrent. That was the case with the Apostle Paul, but he prayed that the Lord would take away this thorn in the flesh. And the Lord said, said, no, I'm not going to take it away. I'm going to give that to you to keep you from being exalted above measure. It will be a counterbalance in your life. And so it was used as a deterrent of pride. And sometimes these adversities, these difficulties are demonstrative. That is, they are used to demonstrate something. This was the case with Job, wasn't it? Satan said, oh, sure, he'll praise you, and he'll exalt your name as long as he has all of these material things. You let me take them away from him, and let me touch his body, and so that he will know physical pain and discomfort and so on. Then see how much he'll praise you. And so it was used as a demonstration. And sometimes these things are used in a discriminatory way. You'll see this in Matthew chapter 13 about when tribulation comes. Let me get the verse. This would be verses 19 through 21, Matthew 13. But for the sake of time, I'll read verse 21. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. You know, it's easy to say, oh, how I love Jesus. We live in a time when so much is being propagated in the way of easy believism. And it's easy to say, yes, I know the Lord, I love the Lord, and how I love Jesus. But now, you let these adversities, these problems, these difficulties come, and they will separate the genuine from the false. And so sometimes they're used in a discriminatory way. And sometimes these things are for our development. John chapter 15 and verse 2, we think of the Lord being the true vine, and we being the branches. And I believe the thought there is a purging, or a pruning, I should say. A pruning. If you prune a bush, and it will come out more fully. You prune a fruit tree, and it will bear more fruit. And so, the Lord sometimes directs and allows these, whether they be physical or otherwise, these problems to come so that we might be made better Christians. We don't like the process. You know, it seems that there's always something that keeps us at the throne of grace. And I realize there are many problems represented here this morning. Many problems. And if we were to take time and to listen to each believer and what's upon each heart, we would find there are many problems here. And it seems just as soon as there's an answer to prayer in one area, and we give a big sigh of relief, it seems that something else comes up and we're right back at the throne of grace. Well, now that in itself is good, isn't it? I mean, the fact that we are kept at the throne of grace. And we're made to realize all the more our dependence upon the Lord. Sometimes they're used in a developmental way. But all are used in a didactic way. That is, they all teach us something, and they should teach us something. Now, this word patience, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. This word patience is actually two words, hupomino. That word hupo means under. Mino means to stay or to abide under. Here's a person under a tremendous load. And the person cannot get rid of that load. Now it is true. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, is it? There hath no temptation or testing taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tested above that you're able, but will with it make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Someone asked Dwight L. Moody on one occasion, Brother Moody, do you have dying grace? And he said, no, I don't. You don't? Why don't you have dying grace? He said, because I'm not dying. He said, I have living grace. And when it comes time to die, God will give me dying grace. But will with the testing make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. And so here's a picture of a person under a tremendous load. And they abide under that load. I think of the illustration that God gave to the prophet in Jeremiah chapter 18, going down to the potter's house, you remember? And God told the prophet to observe the potter as he works with the clay on the wheel. And there he's fashioning that vessel as he works with his hands. I was speaking on that portion of scripture on one occasion, and a dear saint of God came up to me and said, "Now, I want to share this with you because it might be of help the next time you share some of these thoughts." And I greatly appreciated the help. I really did. The person said, "Did you know that when any potter shapens the vessel, when he uses the one hand to press here and to move up there to shape that vessel, that there's always the other hand to cushion it?" I said, "No, I didn't know that." You know, it's wonderful to know that underneath are the everlasting arms. It's wonderful to know that. Whatever pressure God directs and allows, underneath are the everlasting arms. That's wonderful to know. And he will not direct or allow, he will not work in such a way as to permit anything to come into our life that is beyond us, or that is beyond the grace of God. Here's a blacksmith. He beats away at this piece of metal on the anvil. He sticks it into the heat, brings it back to the anvil, and he begins to beat on it. But now he has to put it back into the heat. Well, you see, God is working in us. For it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And we don't understand the heating process and all of this, but rest assured that God is working in us to accomplish his purpose. All things, and here again, A.T. Gibbs, you say, this is a verse that the easiest verse to give and the hardest to take. All things work together for good to them that love God. My wife will bake some pies and cakes from time to time. That's evident. I remember I was speaking at the Camp Horizon on one occasion. A young teenage girl said to me, "Mr. Swartz, I know you're on the level." I said, "How do you know I'm on the level?" "Well," she said, "you have a bubble in the middle." Louise will sometimes bake a cake, and I don't know all the ingredients that go into the baking of a cake. You have to have flour, and you have to have whole eggs or egg yolks, do you? Some shortening of some kind, some extract, and what else? Sugar. All right, well, I wouldn't want to eat any of these ingredients individually, would you? I wouldn't want to eat flour by itself. The Lord knows I wouldn't want to eat egg yolks, at least without being cooked. I wouldn't eat butter by itself. There was a time I used to eat butter by itself to coat my stomach before going out and drinking a little bit. But I wouldn't want to eat butter by itself. But when Louise will put all of these things together, well, then I can give to that cake the last rites and give it a beat and bury it. All things work together for good to them that love God. And though we don't understand these things, we are to keep on keeping on. You see, this thought of patience, that is, abiding under, to stand fast under the load, does not have the thought of passive endurance. Here's a man who's in a storm, and you've seen them maybe in actuality, or you've seen them on television or something, when the report of a hurricane is given, and here's a person who's on a 45-degree angle, and they're going into the wind. You know, you've seen that sight. And the person is trying to make headway, going against that strong wind. And I've seen some people just about on a 45-degree angle as they walk along. You might say, "Well, why don't they just stay where they are? Why don't they just lie down?" And no, they have a goal in sight. And you will find, as you study the scripture, that related to this patience, or connected with this patience, is hope. Why is the person continuing to make progress under such adverse circumstances? Because they have a goal in mind. They have a hope that's before them. See, I would much rather I would much rather go down the most dangerous, the darkest alleyway on my way to a banquet than to go down the most brightly lighted, flower-strewn boulevard on my way to the gas chamber. Would you? Would you? I mean, if you had to go down a dark and dangerous alleyway, but knowing that you were on your way to a banquet and you were going to make it, I'd much rather do that than to go down the boulevard on my way to the gas chamber. You see, we have a hope before us. We have a living hope. And we are to continue on knowing that He will never leave us nor forsake us. I ran across this little poem some time ago. Two frogs fell into a deep cream bowl. One was an optimistic soul, but the other took a gloomy view. "We shall drown," he cried, "without more ado." So with a last despairing cry, he flung up his legs and he said goodbye. Quote the other frog with a merry grin, "I can't get out, but I won't give in. I'll just swim around till my strength is spent. Then I will die the more condemned." Bravely he swam till it would seem his struggles began to churn the cream. On the top of the butter, at last he stopped, and out of the bowl he gladly hung. What of the moral? It's easily found. If you can't hop up, keep swimming round. Well, as we said, it is more easily said than done. But James is saying, don't remain stationary. Don't remain stationary. You just keep on keeping on. Now, you know, in thinking of that some time ago, I thought of different ships, boats. There's a rowboat, usually a very small boat, limited in the size of cargo it can take, and the progress that rowboat will make depends on the strength of the one who's doing the rowing. And if there is a storm, if there are difficulties, then the little boat will make no headway at all. But then there's the sailboat. Here again, usually a larger boat can carry a larger load. And that boat is dependent upon the elements, is it not? No wind, but if it has a motor, you'll stand still in the water. But then there's the steamboat, or now the nuclear-powered boat, that is not dependent on the elements. And it's not hindered by the elements. Why? Because the power is within. And that boat can keep on making progress, even in the worst of storms. It is God who works in you, both the will and the do of His good pleasure. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus. We don't understand so many of these things. We don't understand. But isn't it wonderful to know that we have His abiding presence, we have His sustaining grace, and we have His keeping power. Fellow believer in Christ, keep on keeping on. Because it's God who works in you, both the will and the do of His good pleasure. Father, we do thank Thee for this day. We thank Thee for our time together this morning. We pray that Thou will be pleased to take these stumbling thoughts and impress upon our hearts in a real way that we are in Thy care and keep. Impress upon us once again that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and that Thine ears are open to our cry. And we pray, O God, that though there are so many things we don't know or don't understand, that we will not let these shake our confidence in what we do know and what we do love. We know that Thou art a gracious God, a loving God, and we know that all things do work together for good, for them that love God, for them who are the called according to Thy purpose.